Hey, good morning, everyone. Shlomi, don't worry. I don't want you to miss.
I'm already got it cooking.
Okay, good morning, everyone. First of all, welcome to all those who are starting Maseches Sukkah with us. It's very exciting. Our shiur is sponsored by Yitz Weiss, CPA. Shake things up a bit this tax season. And the breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch in honor of Jaime's granddaughter. So welcome, everyone. So based on Yitz's sponsorship, we'll acknowledge the fact, so Yitz is picking up on the fact that later in the Masechta, we're going to talk about the Na'anuim, which is the part of the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. And in the Torah, Dalet Minim is actually introduced in the Psukim before the mitzvah of Yeshiva Basukah. So some of the Mefarshim wonder why the Masechta begins with Sukkah Shi Gavoa Lamala Me'eser Mama. Already we're discussing the question of how big the structure of the Sukkah has to be, which is going to relate to the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah, and we don't start the Masechta with the Prakim that relate to the mitzvah of Dalet Minim, which is really how the Torah introduces it. The Torah introduces Dalet Minim first. So I heard once that we know that there's a fascinating dynamic that whenever we're faced in the context of a regel, or general context, with the element of the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which involves our initiative towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's initiative towards us, that anything that's depicted in the Torah always lends priority to the element that is involving us. And anything that is in the context of Torah Shabbat Peh, which is generated by Klal Yisrael, focuses on the element that is related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's sort of a reciprocating expression of love and admiration between the two. So for example, Chag HaMatzos is how Pesach is referred to in the Torah, which of course refers to what Klal Yisrael did in the context of Yitzias Mitzrayim, that we, with great passion and with great alacrity and initiative, prepared ourselves to leave Mitzrayim. But in the context of rabbinic literature, it's referred to as Pesachim, it's referred to as Pesach, which refers to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us in the context of the story of Pesach. It's the Gemara talks about the difference between Hashem's tefillin, kaviyachol, and our tefillin. Our tefillin relate to the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin relates to the godless of Klal Yisrael. And so when it comes to Maseches Sukkah as well, the Arba Minim is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about first, which relates more to Klal Yisrael, the different one of the Minim representing different types of Jews, representing the vitality of our Avoda. And when it comes to, so therefore that's introduced first. But when it comes to Maseches Sukkah, where we're expressing on behalf of Klal Yisrael the Torah Shebaal Peh of the mitzvah of Sukkah, so there we relate first to the aspect of L'man Yedu Darosechem Ki B'Sukkah So Shafti Es Bnei Yisrael, the Anonei HaKavod, the aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's providence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha that oversees Am Yisrael. And so therefore we begin Maseches Sukkah relating to, even before that, the very initial moments of the experience of Yeshiva B'Sukkah, which is the construction of the Sukkah itself. So how do we construct a Sukkah? So the Mishnah begins by giving us some parameters. So Sukkah, Shehi Gavoa, Sukkah, Shehi Gavoa, Lemala, Me'esrim, Amma, Psula. So the Mishnah says, a Sukkah can't be so high. A sukkah that is higher than 20 amos is possible. But this is subject to a machlokas tanoim. For Rabbi Yehuda machshir, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, such a sukkah is actually kosher. V'she'ena gavoa asara tfachim. And what about the minimal shear? How high does it have to be minimally? So the Mishnah says it has to be at least 10 tfachim, about 30 inches. So she'ena gavoa asara tfachim, if it's not 10 tfachim, v'she'en law, and it does not have shlosha defanos. We'll learn a little bit later what exactly that means. At least three walls, or two and some of a halachic wall. That also would not qualify as a sukkah. And as well, the final example of the Mishnah that disqualifies a sukkah is shechamsa meruba mitzilsa. That it's chama, the amount that the sun can penetrate through the roof of the sukkah, is greater than the amount of shade that is provided by the schach itself. The Rav points out that the makar for this idea is a little questionable. Why exactly? Where exactly did this come from? And I think he quotes from his father that, you know, it's essentially just a judgment call on the functionality of the schach. In other words, if there is not enough schach to provide at least a defining amount of shade, so then you're not really benefiting from the schach itself. And if you're not really benefiting from the schach, we know that to be about shelter, right? Like if we're sitting in a home and the home leaks, right? And yet there is a roof, so, you know, it depends how much roof there is. If there's more leaking than there is roof, so then you can't tell me, but there's some roof. No, there's not some roof. The functionality of the roof is compromised. There's no roof. And that's really what Chamsa Meruba Mitzilse is, that once you're dealing with a situation where there's so little schach that, you know, it's mostly sunlight coming through, so the schach is no longer functioning as the roof. And we're going to learn that that is an essential aspect of the sukkah. In fact, Rashi says already at the beginning here that Barak Kamisha Eino, he evokes Hamuad Bato Berov, he evokes the halachic principle of Bittel, which is the subject of a lot of discussion in the Achronim, what relevancy that has here. But Rashi then makes a statement, which he makes a number of times throughout Maseches Sukkah, V'al Shem Haschach Karui Sukkah. That the Sukkah is really, where does this word Sukkah even come from? Sukkah, even though we generally relate to the getting the walls and the flooring and all that, Sukkah is really Al Shem Haschach. The Schach is the main part of the Sukkah. And if Salvechik would be Choker, he would analyze, so what is the role of the walls relative to the schach? And he held that according to Rashi, the walls are really just a hechsher. The walls are really only there as a supportive structure in order to hold up the ikker part of the sukkah, which is the schach. And the whole experience of sukkahs really emanates entirely from the schach. The Rav held that the Rambam disagreed with that. That was also the position of the Rush, that the Rambam disagreed with this. And the Rambam holds that there is kedusha. The question is there kedusha to the defanos? Is there some sort of sanctity in the defanos themselves? And the Rambam held there was. And that gets to the question of decorations, you know, hanging there and all sorts of other things. But the Rambam held there was kedusha to the defanos themselves. And the Rav would explain that the machlokas here is how to relate to the structure that's supporting the schach. Is the structure that's supporting the schach part of the entire halachic element of the sukkah? Or is the structure merely a means in order to facilitate the real experience of the schach itself? But nevertheless, that's what Rashi says. The ikar part of the sukkah is the schach, and we'll see different ways that manifests itself, even already in our first daf together. So the Gemara says, okay, we got the Mishnah down, but here's the problem. We're always looking for consistency across Mishnayos. Tzanan Hasam, we learned it in a Mishnah over there, Mavoi, if you have a Mavoi, so the people's communities didn't used to be like today, where everyone's house just empties out onto a little street. Homes used to enter into a chatzar, used to feed into a courtyard, and multiple courtyards that held multiple homes used to feed into a larger area, a larger courtyard, and that was called the Mavoi. So Midoraisa, all of these areas are Rishus HaYachid. These are certainly not Rishus HaRabim, certainly not Rishus HaRabim Doraisa, certainly not according to many Rishonim that have a very high threshold of Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. But Chazal were Mesake, not to carry from place to place, because we wanted to make sure that people did not erode their sensitivity to the Malacha of Hotzah, which itself as a Malacha is already a Malacha that Chazal call a Malacha Garua, because the Malacha of Hotzah is the only Malacha of Shabbos where there's no Shinui to the Gufa Davar. Nothing happens to any item itself. There's no investment of manipulative creative energy that's transformative to something. But rather the Malacha really is just a Malacha of transport, of context. And it's a Malacha Garua. So Chazal made all sorts of takanos for this malacha, and one of them is, midrabbanan, you're not allowed to carry in these areas. However, they also implemented, they implemented a way in which they would permit such carrying. And one of those ways is to create some sort of heker, some sort of identifying piece of a structure at the entrance to the mavui, and that would remind you this is a mavui, and that would allow for different opportunities. So the mavui is surrounded on three sides. Rashi explains it's roshos pasuach l'rashus harabim, the chatzeros open into it, and that's the mavui. So the two ways you could do this is with a korah or a lechi. A lechi is a vertical pole. There are lechis on our Erevim, and a korah is a beam, something that goes across. But the beam has to be noticeable. It has to be, if it's a heker, it has to be something you could see. So the Mishnah says, mavui shu gavoa me'eser mama, if the mavui itself, if this courtyard is somehow higher in its walls or whatever than 20 amos, So if the courtyard heker, if the beam that you put is higher than 20 amos, so the Mishnah says yima'it, you should shorten it, you should lower it so that it's noticeable. Rabbi Yehuda Omer enot tzarech, and Rabbi Yehuda is consistent with his opinion in our Mishnah that you do not have to lower it. So the Gemara says ma'ishna gabi sukkah d'tani psula u'ma'ishna gabi mavui d'tani takanta. So the Gemara says, well, what's going on here? In our Mishnah, yes, the dinim are parallel, but the way in which the response to the circumstances is presented is very much not parallel. In the case of the sukkah, the Mishnah gives up on the sukkah and says it's a puzzle sukkah. Good luck. You got to go to somebody else's sukkah or build a new sukkah. Whereas in the Mishnah about the mavui, takanta, a restorative approach is presented. You should lower the beam. That's what the Mishnah says. So come on, be a little more optimistic. Tell us that when you have a sukkah that's too big, you should make it smaller. So the Gemara says the answer is sukkah doraisa tani psula mavi derabanan tani takanta. The sukkah is a din doraisa, and when it comes to a din doraisa, we relate to the status of that chefza as a standing reality min haTorah. So the Mishnah has to tell you in a declarative expression, this sukkah has the status, because we focus on the status of the item itself. This sukkah has the status of a sukkah psula. What could you do to deal with it? Whatever you deal with, however you deal with situations in life that are a puzzle. But the sukkah itself, it's a psul. But when it comes to a din derabanan, there Chazal made a takana. So when Chazal make a takana, so there we're not relating to the status of the item itself. We're relating to a certain legislative power that they have to prohibit you from interfacing with this particular mutter item, and they declare it to be an usur thing to do. So they could tell you, hey Mamru, that you shouldn't do this, and they'll tell you, you should do that. The Iba Yisema, so that's one answer. The Iba Yisema, b'doraisa nami tani takanta. And the Gemara says, well, no, maybe by doraisas we could also relate, ways in which they could be fixed. Miu, sukkah, tinefishi milsa, pasuk v'tani psula, mavoi delo nafish mile tani takanta. So the Gemara says that maybe the difference is that sukkah d'nefishe milsa, says Rashi, ain't domin tiknusa in zulazu. This Mishnah delineates many different issues with sukkahs. So if we're going to also include in the Mishnah all of the repairs, so each example is going to have to get its own repair. And therefore, that would sort of expand the Mishnah itself. Mishnayos were always formulated in as succinct way as possible in order to facilitate memorization and classification and these kinds of things. And so therefore, since it would have been, it would have flushed it out too much, so therefore we simplify it. We just tell you it's the psul. But when it comes to the Mishnah by the case of the Mavoi, in that Mishnah, there is more space to be able to explicate exactly what to do in order to solve the problem. Okay, that was a stylistic issue. Now the Gemara gets into the actual substance of the Mishnah's dinim. Minohani mili. So asks the Gemara, how do you know that you are not permitted to go ahead and build a sukkah that is higher than 20 amos? How do you know? So we have a number of different reasons that are suggested. Amar Rabba, so says Rabba, the Amar Krah, because the pasuk says, Laman Yedu Doroseichem, Kiba Sukkah So Shafti Is Bnei Yisrael. The pasuk says that you have to, why do we give you the mitzvah of sukkah? So that Klal Yisrael will know, Laman Yedu Doroseichem, so you'll know, you'll have an awareness, Kiba Sukkah So Shafti Is Bnei Yisrael, that I took care of Bnei Yisrael in their sukkahs. So says the Gemara, Ad Esrimama Adam Yodea Shudar B'sukkah. So you see that the consciousness of the individual as they remain in the sukkah is a relevant dimension to fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah itself. So when you're sitting in the sukkah, there has to be some level of awareness. The very famous Bach at the beginning of Hilchas Sukkah, which we quote often on that first night of Sukkot, that the Bach writes that because of the pasuk of Laman Yedu, even though normally we paskin mitzvahs ein shrichas kavana, exactly, even though more than we paskin mitzvahs do not require kavana, sukkah is different. Because sukkah says Laman Yedu dorosechem. So sukkah, you have to have a shtickle more kavana. So we don't paskin like that Bach li kuva, but that Bach is definitely ever present in our relationship to sukkah. So here, it's not exactly saying, it's not talking about mitzvah tzrichas kavana. It's just talking about whether or not this is actually an experience of Laman Yedu, right? Is this on a pshat level? Is this an experience of Laman Yedu if you don't even know you're in a sukkah? You're not even aware you're in a sukkah. You don't know you're there. You're not even sure you're there because it's so high that you can't see the roof, or you're not conscious of what's on the roof. You have no idea. So Adam Yodea Shu Dar Besukah Lemala Measer Mama, higher than 20 Amos, Ein Adam Yodea Shu Dar Besukah. Person doesn't know that they're living in a sukkah. Mishum de lo shalta ba'ena, because their eyes do not move up. Their eyes don't go up. So that's the Shita of Rabbah. The Shita of Rabbah is the reason why a sukkah higher than 20 Amos is problematic, is because Laman Yedu Dorosechem Ki Vesukah Soshavti Es B'nei Yisrael. Rabbi Zeira is answer number two. Rabbi Zeira Amar Me'acha, V'sukah Tihiyah Letzel Yomam Mechorev. So this is a pasuk that we find in Sefer Yishayahu. V'sukah Tihiyah Letzel Yomam Mechorev, and says the Gemara that sukkah is related to tzel. Tihiyah Letzel, says Rashi, Mashma Ein Sechach Ela Osui Letzel. So it's mashma from this pasuk that part of the experience of sukkah must be benefiting from the shade that is provided by the schach. Ad Esr Mama Adam Yoshev Etzel Sukkah. So until Esr Mama, you could still, in theory, be benefiting, I guess, at some point when the sun is in a reasonable amount of time, you know, over the sukkah in such a way, you are sitting in the tzel of the schach. You're sitting in the shadow of the schach. In the protection of the schach.
But at a certain time, if it's too tall, you'll be sitting in the shadow of the wall.
Oh, exactly. Er is 100% right. Lemala master mama, ein adam yosher b'tzel sukkah, ela b'tzel defanos. So at some point, you're not sitting in the shadow of the sukkah. You're sitting in the shadow of the defanos, right? Sitting in the shadow of the defanos. So amar le abaye. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Zeira, right? So Rabbi Zeira says you got to be in the shadow of the sukkah itself. So amar le abaye. Elameata. So Abaye says, really? So this is an interruption here. If that's true, also sukaso ba'ashtros karnayim, if you make your sukkah in this very deep valley, hachanami dulavi sukkah. So if that's true, then I should consider the environmental factors as well. If you're telling me that I always have to benefit from the schach of the sukkah as the source of the tzel, forget the walls. Even if I make a sukkah that's less than 20 amos, let's say the sukkah is a normal sukkah, but I make it in a place that's at the very bottom of a tall valley, Zion National Park, right? Anyone been to Zion National Park? You walk down in Utah, right? You walk through, it's like a water hike, and there are enormous, enormous cliffs, or the Grand Canyon at the bottom, right? Usually you go from the top, right? At the bottom, enormous, enormous cliffs. Or what's that place that's sort of beautiful, but it's in the middle of Patterson? The Falls, right? You ever been to the Falls? Ay vey. Right? So says the that's like a piece of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's nature that was Tassav Alomina Asui. It's like, it's hard to understand exactly what went on over there. So, right? So, now also sukaso ba'ashas kanayim achanami lavi sukkah. So the Gemara says, no. Amrle hasam dal ashtras kanayim ikatzel sukkah. When we say that the schach has to be the source of the tzel, we don't mean that in actuality in terms of the rays of the sun penetrating through and you must sit in the... What we mean is that because the whole sukkah is symbolic of the sukkos that protected the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, coming out of Mitzrayim, so therefore, our sukkos as well, the structure of the sukkah has to have the potential to protect us from the elements of the sun, and therefore the shade of the sukkah, for it to be considered an authentic sukkah, the construct of its schach has to be such that it has the potential to be protecting you from the sun. But if you happen to be in an area where there are mountains on the side of you and it's providing shade, that doesn't disqualify the sukkah, because it's not the experience of the shade, but it's that the construct of the sukkah is such that would it be in the midbar, it would be providing protection from, you have to be in that type of symbolic sukkah. Whereas, as opposed to the case of the 20 Amos, that sukkah, no matter where it was, if they built that sukkah coming out of Mitzrayim, the shade wouldn't come from the schach. It would come from the walls. So here's, that's the Gemara answers. Amalei hasam dal ashtros kanayim ikatzel sukkah. If you remove the ashtros kanayim, you remove the mountains on the side, you still have the tzel of the sukkah. But hacha over here, dal defanos, you move the defanos, lekatzel sukkah. You do not have the walls of the sukkah. So therefore, we answer Abaye's kasha, and Rabbi Zeira, recommits himself to this shita, that the issue is not levan yedu, like Rabbah said, that you have to be in your consciousness, you're in a sukkah, but rather that there has to be at least potential for the schach of the sukkah to be protecting you, to be providing shade, to be functioning, and this kind of sukkah, it is not. The Rava, and this is our third shita, Rava says mehacha, it says b'sukkos teishu shivas yamim, you should live in the sukkah, you should live in it, but you should only live in it for 7 days. So Amra Torah, kol shivas yamim tzei midiras keva v'sha b'diras aroi. So part of the nature of the mitzvah of sukkahs is that it has a temporal, character to it. And so therefore, says Chazal, you should be teishvu, but b'shivas yamim. And that's not just telling you how long to live there, it's telling you the nature of the living. So the nature of the living is, it needs to be a diras aroi, a temporary dwelling. And so therefore, you remove yourself from your diras keva, and you go into a diras aroi. It's not just that you move from my house to Erez's house, and that's sukkahs, that I'm going into a different home. No, I have to move from my house to a diras aroi. Ad Esr Mama Adam Osa Diraso Diras Aroi. So David Baumza will tell you that if you're going to build a structure like a sukkah that's less than 20 amos, so that already you could build in a temporary way. Lemala Me'esr Mama, once you're dealing with heights, 40, 50 feet high, you're going to need serious foundation work. You're going to need serious support beams. You're going to need serious, retrofitting to make sure that the structure, doesn't fall. And now already we're not in the realm anymore of something you just throw up, with a piece of canvas. Now we're not in the realm of diras aroi. Now we're in the realm of diras kara. So lemala me'esr mama, higher than esr mama, ein adam osa diraso diras aroi, ela diras keva. So Abaye, who likes to pick on these guys, he says, whoa, if that's the defining nature of sukkah, then ela me'ata osa mechitzos shel barzel, b'sichech al gabon, hachanami d'lavi sukkah. So he says, if you are so obsessed with this thing being such a temporary structure, and therefore you are relating to the height of the walls as compromising to that integrity, then that should be true about the substance of the walls themselves. So even if you're building a smaller sukkah, if you build it by pouring concrete, if you build it by using drywall and steel and these kinds of things, that's not a diras aroi, right? You don't put steel up for a diras aroi. That would also make it a diras keva, and that should also invalidate the sukkah. And we know that a sukkah can be, the walls could be made of anything. The lo avi sukkah, amar le hacha kamina lecha. Excuse me. So he says to him, so Rava says to Abaye, no, you don't understand. Ad chaf ama, until 20 amos, the adam osa diraso diras aroi, ki avad le diras keva nami nafik. Until 20 amos, a person, by the very nature of the size of the structure, it could still be considered a temporary structure. And even if they use elements of the structure that are inherently more associated with something that's permanent, but nevertheless, because the whole nature of the structure in its totality is a temporary one, it's inclusive of a temporary dimension. So even if though, so it's a shtickel keva, but within the keva there's an arai. That's what Rashi says. Ades or mama, shap your dummy, devada yesh bichlal keva arai. Right? Vare osa ketora, v'al karchach loik pide Torah al ha'arai, el l'shem shir losis l'chashir b'gavoa. Right, so he says that, you know, as long as you're keeping it a certain height, all right, so you use steel walls and I use canvas walls, but it's clear that this is not a, once you get involved, l'mala mechaf ama, once you get involved in higher than 20 amos, the adam osa diraso diras keva, where the whole nature of the construct is by definition a dira of keva, ki obed le diras aroi, nami lo nafik. Then, even if you create elements of it that are aroi, like you put canvas up, as your, well, canvas we'll get into, right? But you put fiberglass up instead of a real wall, you know, even though you're putting a diras or a little board, but since you're making it so high, it no longer, you know, the general construct of the sukkah. So what he's saying is that the height of the sukkah, the stature of the building is really what's telling whether or not you're building something that's permanent or you're building something that's temporary. Once you're building something temporary to include elements of it that we also include in something that's permanent, that's okay, because within its nature is a diras aroi. But when the whole tzura of the sukkah is one that is more permanent, the hainu, it's higher, so that creates more of an issue. Okay, amud beis. Kulu kiraba lo amri. So the Gemara now gets very into who said what to who. So the Gemara says, Kulu ki rabbi lo amri. So he says, everybody disagrees with Rabba. Why? Rabba had a pretty good case. Laman yedu darasechem, ki besukos oshavti es b'nei Yisrael. Why do they all disagree with Rabba? It's a pretty good point. Like, if you have to have a certain consciousness that you're, you know, besukos oshavti es b'nei Yisrael. So the Gemara says, "Kulu kirabla amri hayyidia lidorosi." He says, because you are extrapolating from this word yidia that it involves the consciousness of the actual experience of mitzvah sukkah. He says that's not what the Torah intended to convey with that word leman yedu. It intended to convey, you think that this is just something you have to do right now as you're leaving Mitzrayim, because remember there were certain aspects of Pesach Mitzrayim that were unique to the dar that left Mitzrayim that did not replicate themselves in Hilchas Pesach. So you might think that, oh, you know, l'man yedu dar aseichem ki besuchos. So it says, no, lidoros, this is lidorosi, that this is something that's for generations. It's not about the yediyah, the yeshivas besukah, Kamar Elabiyadias Doros Aboyan Ekev Sukos Anoni Akavod Hanasala Avos. It's to tell you that you always have to keep in mind Lidoros, the reason for this mitzvah. And it's interesting the Mefarshim point out that Rashi picks on Anone Hakavod as the reason, when the Gemara is going to tell us later in the Masechta, this is the subject of a Machlokas Tanoim, whether or not the reason for Sukkah is to remember the Anone Hakavod, or the reason for Sukkah is to remember the Sukkos Mamish. But that's why everyone rejects Rabbah. What about Rabbi Zeira? Rabbi Zeira made a pretty good case that the sukkah has to provide sail. Rabbi Zeira, nami lo amri, are you lemosa Mashiach? They didn't like the pasuk he brought. He said, this pasuk you're bringing about sukkahs, you know, it's really talking about yemosa Mashiach. It's not talking about the mitzvah of sukkah, right? Who dichsev? Rabbi Zeira. So now the Gemara interrupts and says, well, how does Rabbi Zeira deal with that? So the Gemara says, im kein le makra v'chupa tiel itzel yomam. Umay v'sukkah tiel itzel yomam. If you're talking about the days of Mashiach, where Hashem is just going to have a more of a general sense of protection of the Jewish people, then use a word that's a little bit more ubiquitous in terms of its application to overall protection of the Jewish people. Don't use a word that resonates so much with a very specific context of a mitzvah. So the fact that the Torah went out of its way to use the word, the Navi went out of its way to use the word sukkah, is to tell you that it's related to Shema Mina Tarti. Comes to tell us both, that it's referring to, yes, Yemosa Mashiach, says Rashi, the Ein Shem Sukkah El Asuya Litzel, Da Yemosa Mashiach V'Shem Da Asuya Litzel, Kari Sukkah, right? It's something that protects us with shade in Yemosa Mashiach, but it uses the word Sukkah to also convey that, and that also, by the way, you should know, is how we characterize a Sukkah. Okay, what about Kirava Namilo? So what about Rava? Rava also had a good idea. Basukos Teshvu, he said, has to be a Diras Aroi. right? It has to be a diras aroi. This is not a diras aroi. So mishum kushid abaye. No, the other amoraim, they bought into the question of abaye. They said that, you know, they didn't love his answer, and they said basically, you know, if you're going to presume that there is a requirement for aroi in the walls of the sukkah in terms of their height, by extension, the same thing should be true in terms of the nature of their construction as well. We know that not to be the case, and so therefore, that's not an appropriate extrapolation, and so therefore, we would not accept it. And that's why each amora conjures their own source for why sukkah lemala mechaf ama is considered puzzle. Yeah.
Yeah. And no matter what you make the walls, or no matter how high, until you put on a roof, really, it's a temporary structure. Like I'm saying, you don't have
right.
It's not a home, so what does it matter how tall the walls are? Or I'm saying,
you don't mean in the third sheet, though.
Yeah,
I mean it's not waterproof.
It's not really a livable place until you have
right. And I think
so it shouldn't matter how strong the walls are, how high they are. I understand with the sunlight and stuff like that, but right. I'm saying for the Shita,
right.
that it's a permanent structure.
Right.
I don't care how permanent the walls are.
Right.
Until you have a roof,
right.
It's really not.
Right. So it's interesting. A little bit, it kind of relates to the whole question of what is the relationship between this mitzvah of building the sukkah and sitting in the sukkah, mm. right? So we generally relate to the mitzvah of building the sukkah. It's like a hechsher mitzvah. It's something that, you know, just facilitates building the mitzvah. But we'll see later in the Gemara that there's a discussion. Maybe you should make a bracha, and in Yerushalmi there's a bracha. The Gemara seems to feel that even if you want to say, like, look, if we were to start pouring over this sukkah, it's not like no water would come in. So what? So it's 50 amos high. But lamaisa, there's schach on top, and so therefore it's not a full roof. It's not fully, you know. So there is a notion of relating to the sukkah itself as a diras aroi in a subjective way. In other words, the notion that we don't, that it's not just a question of whether or not objectively it has all the properties of a home, but whether or not a person would relate to this as a diras aroi. Is this something that as you're building it, you would build a diras aroi in this way? And once you start, and Rashi talks about, like, once you need foundations and stuff like that, even if the final product has characteristics of a diras aroi, but since in the essence of the edifice itself, there are so many elements to it. You know, now you're not going to get some guy putting up the sukkah. Now you need a real construction company. Now you need cranes. Now you need, you know what I'm saying? So even if the ultimate product has properties of aroi, it's still at that point, like, that's just not how a person builds something that's so it's almost like you've gone across the threshold of relating to it as an aroi building. So the Gemara then says, Keman Azla. Now the Gemara is going to bring a number of different dinim. And the Gemara wants to know which of our three shitos would resonate with these dinim. Different dinim in Hilchos Sukkah. So Keman Azla, like who would we say it is consistent? Hal de Amar Rav Yoshi Amar Rav. A number of statements all in the name of Rav. So Rav Yoshi Amar Rav made the following statement. Machlokas, the Machlokas in our Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Right, whether or not this sukkah is, that's lamala me'esramama, is pasul, like we've been dealing with up until now, the shikta of the chachamim, or like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that it's kosher. So that machlokes, says Rabbi Oshia, is only true, b'she'en defanos magios l'schach. It's only true when the walls do not reach the schach. About defanos magios l'schach, afilu lamala me'esramama k'sheira. But if the defanos reach the schach, so then, even if it's taller than 20 amos, it's kosher, even according to the Chachamim. Certainly according to Rabbi Yehuda, but even according to the Chachamim. We know that when it comes to the walls of the sukkah, right, the walls of the sukkah halachically do not have to reach the schach. As long as the walls of the sukkah are up off the floor a certain minimal amount, we could rely on a principle that's called good asik mechitzos, which means we view them halachically as if they're climbing all the way to the schach. That's why you don't have to have, you can make the COVID sukkahs. Many people made COVID sukkahs that were largely open air sukkahs. And all they had for walls was a minimal amount of few tefachim on the bottom. And then you treat the rest of the wall as if it's there. That is called good asik mechitzos. That is a perfectly acceptable sukkah. In fact, on the canvas sukkahs, when people are nervous about the walls shaking, and if that's considered a problem in the kashrus of the wall, sometimes you'll see people put string across through lavud, but they don't do it the whole way up. So you also rely there both on lavud and on good asik, and it's a big discussion. There's a Reb Chaim and how many of these things you can combine, but also part of the concept of good asik mechitzos. So you could have a sukkah that's completely kosher. Forget the 20 amos. Some sukkahs that are kosher have walls that go all the way to the top. We in New Jersey, it's very common to make sukkahs with walls that go all the way to the top because we it's often cold some of the nights of sukkahs. But in warmer climates, unless you're in a super warm climate where you also need air conditioning in the sukkahs, in Boca Raton, they have air conditioning in the sukkahs, so often very, very hot there and humid, which is why no one should move there from here, right? But in other places where it's very pleasant, very often there'll be more open air sukkahs. So the Gemara says, we have the following. So the shita of the Chachamim, that it's possible to make a sukkah that goes all the way up, that shita assumes that the mechitzos are not going all the way to the top. But once the mechitzos go all the way to the top, then you could have a higher sukkah than 20 amos. That's the shita of Rav, publicized by Rav Yoshia. So the Gemara says, Kiman, which shita of why it is the Chachamim passed the sukkah at 20 amos, does this interpretation of Rav Yoshia in the name of Rav of qualifying our machlokas Tanoim in the Mishnah follow? Everyone with me? So the Gemara says, Ki Rabba, it follows Rabba. The Amar Mishum de lo Shalta Ba'ena. Remember, what was Rabba's problem with the sukkah that's higher than 20 amos? His problem was, you have to be Laman Yedu. You have to know you're in a sukkah. And if you don't even look up at the ceiling, you don't even see there's a ceiling. You don't even know there's a ceiling because it's so high. So Shalta Ba'ena. However, the Shalta Ba'ena became the Defanos Magiyas Schach, Mishul Shalta Ba'ena. But when the Defanos reach all the way to the Schach, so then as soon as your eye grabs at the attention of the wall, it goes to the roof. You do see the roof. So if the reason why the Chachamim passed, which according to Rabba it is because the Shalta Ba'ena is a chisaron of Laman Yedu. So if you have a sukkah that goes, according to Rabbi Yoshia, that goes all the way to the top, so we would kasha that sukkah not only according to Rabbi Yehuda, but even according to the Chachamim. Come on, Azla, we have another halacha. The halacha is Dam Rav Huna Marav. And this was the Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, that the machlokes in the Mishnah, b'she'ein bo ela arba amos al arba amos. It's only talking about a sukkah that is 4 amos by 4 amos. About yesh ba yoser me arba amos al arba amos. If you make your sukkah wide, very wide, then afil lemala me esrima makshera. Then even if it's higher than 20 amos, it's kosher. So says the Gemara. Kaman, who does that follow? So Rabbi Zeira, that follows the opinion of Rabbi Zeira. Why? Because Rabbi Zeira said the amr mishum tzel. The issue was. Tzel, the issue was shade. V'kevan deravicha, ikat tzel sukkah. And presumably, as the sukkah gets wider, even though it's very high, there'll be enough opportunity, enough distance between the walls, that the walls are not going to provide overwhelming shade to the schach, and the schach will still be able to function in its intended purpose of providing shade for the sukkah. So the Gemara says, so that follows the opinion of Rabbi Zeira. Kiman Azla, and then the Gemara has one more. Hada Amar Rav Chanan Bar Rabba. That's Rav Chanan Bar Rabba said, Amar Rav, that the machlokes is, b'she'enu machzekes, the machlokes in the Mishnah, is when the sukkah can't even hold, ela kedei rosho v'rubo v'shulchano. This is the minimal shear for a sukkah. The minimal shear for a sukkah is that it's livable. Livable means, in Judaism, it could fit your head, it could fit most of your body, and of course, v'rubo v'shulchano. Of course, you know, you have a table in there, you know, with food, right? So otherwise, that's not called livable, right? So v'shulchano, av machzekes yoser, but if it could fit more, mikdei rosho rubo v'shulchano, afilu lemala me'esr mama, even higher than esr mama, is kshera. So the Gemara says, come on, who does that follow? The Gemara says the lo chachad. That doesn't follow anybody. That is because that now you're dealing with a very narrow sukkah, and so the schach is not going to give shade. There's no reason to assume that in this case you're dealing with a sukkah that that shalta ba'ena, and there's no reason to assume that so there's no leman yedu, and the sukkah is high enough that it's still a compromise to the question of kviya sanaroi. So that doesn't follow anybody. So the Gemara then says bishlam Rabbi Yoshia. I understand Rav Yoshia, right? Rav Yoshia was the one who said that the machlokes only applies where it's ein. If ein defanos magios, then we have a machlokes. But if defanos magios, then the rabbanon agree that it's kosher. So pligi ad Rav Huna. I understand that that argues on Rav Huna v'Rav Chanan bar Rabba. The inu koyoyev shiura b'mishcha ve'iu lo koyoyev shiura b'mishcha. I understand why he feels that, Rav Yoshia feels that the exceptions to the Chachamim's psul that were suggested by the other two opinions, why he doesn't agree with them. Because both of their exceptions involve qualifying the Mishnah based on its size in width or in length, but not in height. And the Mishnah is not talking about width and length. The Mishnah is talking about height. So I understand that. El Rav Huna v'Rav Chanan bar Rabba, right? Neima behechsher sukkah kamiflugi. But when it comes to Rav Huna and Rav Chanan bar Rabba, so it sounds like that there's a real machlokas here. What exactly is the hechsher of a sukkah? Timar savar hechsher sukkah ba'arba amos. It sounds like Rav Chanan bar Rabba holds that the hechsher of a sukkah is arba amos, and that's why he defines the machlokas to be where he defines it to be. Umar saber hechsher sukkah b'machzekas rosh v'ruba v'shulchanu, and the other opinion is that no, it has to do with machzekas rosh v'ruba v'shulchanu. So the Gemara says no. Kuli ama hechsher sukkah rosh v'ruba v'shulchanu. Everyone holds that a sukkah is kosher. It requires rosho verubo vishulchanu. The hacha behakam lefigi. Here they're arguing in the following: the mar saber machzekas rosho verubo vishulchanu pligi about yoser mi rosho verubo vishulchanu divrei akol kshera. One holds that by and this is Rav Chanan. He holds that when everybody holds that that's the kashrus of the sukkah in general, but one holds that anything beyond that. Right? Anything beyond that, beyond Rosho Beruba Veshulchano Yoser, anything beyond that, everyone would hold its kosher. Umar Sabar and Rav Huna would hold that Me Rosho Beruba Veshulchano until Dalet Amos, they have a machlokes. That's when the Chachamim say, whoa, 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 it's a problem because it's so high. About Yoser Mi Dalet Amos, but once you get higher than Dalet Amos, because now the Schach can play a role in the shade, Divrei Hakol Kshera. Okay. So then the Gemara asks a question. Meisivei. So we have a question. A sukkah shi gavoa lamala me'esr mama psula. So the Mishnah said that any sukkah that is higher than 20 amos is pasul. Rabbi Yehuda machshir. And Rabbi Yehuda's machshir. And then this is a different source. Not only is he machshir, but he's machshir arboim the chamishim ama. You know, even to 40 or to 50 amos, like very high. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda. So says Rabbi Yehuda, he wanted to bring a raya to his shita. And we'll get somewhat through this today and pick up the rest next week. Maisa behilni amalka, very famous Hilni amalka, queen. And what happened? She lived in Lud. Maisa behilni amalka belud. Shahaisa sukasa gavoa me'esra mama. And guess what? Her sukkah was higher than 20 amos. V'haya zekenim nichnasim v'yotzin l'sham. V'lo amr lo davar. So, and the elders and the great ones used to come and visit her in the sukkah, and they didn't say anything. They didn't comment. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you see? You see that it was a big sukkah. They didn't say anything. So you see, it's kosher. So amr lo, so they said to Rabbi Yehuda, misham raya, you're bringing a raya from the story of Hilni Amalka? Isha isa. She's a woman. Uptura min sukkah. And she's pater from sukkah, right? Women are pater from sukkah. Why? Because it's a mitzvah saseh.
Shazman
grama, right? So Tosis already brings up. But what about in Pesach, we say, like with regards to Dalet Kosos, women are mechuyeves Mikra Megillah, Ner Chanukah. Why? Because we have a concept of Afein Hayu Ba'oso Anes. So the kasha that's asked in the Rishonim is why isn't Sukkah Afein Hayu Ba'oso Anes? L'man Yedu Dor HaSeichem, Ki B'Sukkah So Shafti Yisbnei Yisrael. All the sukkahs that have the overhangs, they put the women here and the men there, right? And it's, right? So why aren't the women also Afein Hayu Ba'oso Anes? So the Rishonim already answer that maybe there's a difference between Dorais and the Rabbanim. That Chazal include them with the din de Rabbanan. They when afin hayu ba'osanes, when they're constructing, but in the fundamental din d'oraisa, we don't get involved. But the Rav had a different answer. The Rav felt that afin hayu ba'osanes only applies when the ikar mitzvah is a pirsum hanes, not when the mitzvah just commemorates a nes. So. With Dalit Kosos, that the Rambam writes, you drink Bederech Cheiros, the Iker Mitzvah is to show everyone the Nes of Cheiros by acting like Bnei Chorin. Mikra Megillah, it's to show everyone the Nes of Mikra Megillah. We're not reenacting when they read the Megillah. We're spreading the word of this Nes. We're being Mefarsim the Nes. Neros Chanukah, we're being Mefarsim the Nes. But when it comes to Laman Yendu, we're not being mefarsim the nes as much as we are recreating and reliving and remembering the nes that happened. So the Rav said that the takana of afein hayu ba'oso hanes only applies in those situations. Amar lahen v'alo shiva banim. So the Gemara says, oh, you want to say she's pater from sukkah? But what about her seven sons? She had seven sons. Havu v'od kol ma'aselo asela pichachamim. And she was a very religious woman. She did whatever the Chachamim told her to do. So parenthetically, the Gemara says, what do you have to add that in for? Why is everyone going to not be down the Kaschus on Hilni and Malka? They have to say, oh, and also, you know, she did everything on Pi Chachamim. This whole conversation is assuming that she's doing the right thing. So, because if you tell me that she had seven children, but maybe these were all children under the age of Bar Mitzvah, it's possible. V'ketanim p'turim in a sukkah. Ketanim apartah from sukkah. Came into shiva havu. But if she had seven, he after the law of buchad shen atzarech le'imo. So one had to be old enough that they're already in the status of ein atzarech le'imo, which puts them in the status of being chayev and chinuch. V'chitemru katan shen atzarech le'imo midrabanan hu demechayev. And if you want to tell me that a katan shen atzarech le'imo is only chayim midirabbanan ve'iu midirabbanan lo mishkicha tashma ve'ol komasel lo asel lo pichachamim. You should know she followed dinei derabbanan, so she followed dinei d'oraisa and she followed dinei derabbanan, and she's got all these kids in the sukkah, and the rabbis are not creating a problem. So what do you see from here? Says Rabbi Yehuda, you see a raya. What's the raya? The raya is sukkah's higher than 20 amos are kosher. So says the Gemara, Bish lama lamanda amar b'shein defanos magil s'schach machlokas. So I understand that this could still be considered a machlokas if you hold that the whole machlokas is when ein defanos magil s'schach, because darka shel malka leishe besukah shein defanos magil s'schach. So the Gemara is going to set up a kasha now, right? That I understand the raya because the derech of a malka is to have a sukkah that's a little open, a little nicer, a little more of a breeze, a little more pleasant. So since that's the derech of the sukkah, so Rabbi Yehuda is using this sukkah to tell you that even though it's ein defanos magiyos l'schach, that it, over 20 amos is kosher, I'm right, the chachamim are wrong, and that fits with Rabbi Yoshia's qualification of the original machlokes of ein defanos magiyos l'schach. Mishum da avira, because she wants a avira. Elamandam rabbisuka kitana machlokes, right? But if you want to say that the only machlokes is by a sukkah kitana, so then how could this be a raya to Rabbi Yehuda against the chachamim? She's not sitting in a sukkah kitana. She's sitting in a gigantic sukkah. She's a queen. So the Gemara says, v'chidag shamaka leisha b'sukkah kitana. She's going to sit in a sukkah kitana. So the Gemara says, no, it's not necessarily a raya against that shita, because Amar Rabba bar Rav Ada lo nitzcha el esuka asuya kitunios kitunios. Yeah, she it was like a big structure, but it had lots of different little sukkahs. And she was in one of the little sukkahs. So it could still be subject to the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And Rabbi Yehuda could still use it as a raya that more than 20 amos goes ahead and is a kosher a sukkah. So the Gemara says, she would sit in a sukkah like this with lots of different boots. So Rav Ashi, let's go to continue Shabba. So the Gemara says, no, it was a big sukkah, but it had a special little compartment just for her and her family, like a special little mini sukkah within a sukkah, like mini compartment. So that is a derech. So it's a derech for her to have that sukkah. It's a derech for the defanos she'ena magiyos l'schach. And here we have Rabbi Yehuda using it as a raya that it's higher than 20 amos. It should be kosher, and so therefore, you know, it should follow that opinion. We'll pick up the next one. Okay. Oh, yeah.